Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Welcome to Empower Radio Show. This is Linda Ballesteros, and I am your host today. Thank you so much for joining me on this wonderful day. You know, we've been bringing you some absolutely phenomenal guests, and they have been providing great information. And I appreciate all the feedback that I've been getting, because it's good for me to know what you want to hear. It's great for me to have an idea of what topics you want me to bring to you. So keep those emails coming in, because it certainly helps me a lot to provide you with great guests that deliver the information that you're wanting to listen to. Be sure to follow us on social media. There is Facebook and Twitter. So it is empowerradioshow.com. And remember, it's the letter M, the word power, radioshow.com. And Twitter is the same, Empower Radio Show. And the same with Facebook. So if you've missed any of our shows, that is where you can go and listen to the archive shows. You can listen to them multiple times. If you were in the car or someplace that you couldn't take notes, be sure to be prepared to take notes. And that is also what I would suggest for you to do today, is to get ready to take notes. Because today our guest is Michael Jenkins. And Michael is the president of Intelligent Leader Solutions, and he's the creator of Productive Change Management. And this is a program designed to develop high-performing teams, leaders, and individuals through tension management strategies. So I want you guys to remember that, tension management strategies, because that's something I had never heard of before, and Michael's going to be talking about that today. He is a coach, and he is a veteran of the U.S. Navy. He is also a contributing author to the new best-selling book, Expert Wisdom, Life-Changing Principles and Transformational Business Strategies from the Go-To Authorities. Please help me in welcoming Michael Jenkins. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm glad to be online with you.
Well, so, we're really happy for you to be here, Michael. I tell you what, after reading your chapter, you were so generous to make sure that I had a copy of your book, and as I was reading your story, it seems like it could be anyone's story in the beginning, Michael, where you talk about growing up in a less than desirable area. So tell me a little bit about your background and where you got started so that people can see how you tied all this together.
Certainly. I appreciate that. It's a very good story, and I'm so glad that I'm living it, or have lived it for sure, no doubt about it. I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and at the time when I was growing up, it was a very difficult place to live. But I'm so thankful that I did have the experience there. You know, when you think about everything, you have to be thankful for the things that happen in your life. At that time, I wasn't too excited about it, but, you know, it was something that I learned to later appreciate. So it was a very difficult environment. You know, it was a lot of gang activity in the South Central area. And as a young man, you know, I had to try to sort it out and figure out which direction I was going to go in life. And that was one of those directions that I could have considered going. But it just wasn't the right one for me. my older brother obviously was someone who I really looked up to, and he had made some decisions to leave the city to join the military himself. And so I decided I would do the same thing. And that kind of led me in a very, very positive direction, a challenging direction, but nevertheless it was a pretty positive direction, which I'm very thankful for today. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. And that was when you joined the Navy, and I want to thank you so much for serving our country and putting yourself on the line like that.
Thank you.
But that, I'm sure that it was quite a change for you. And
it was.
and some adjustments. So as a young man, Michael, how do you go into a situation like that that is so very different and learn to embrace the change and learn to challenge yourself?
Oh, wow. That's another very good question, I have to tell you, because, you know, growing up, as I mentioned before, in South Central Los Angeles, I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood. And, of course, anyone that was different from me was a member of the authorities or perhaps even a teacher. And so that was one of the biggest changes I had to make when I left the Los Angeles area. I went to boot camp just south of Los Angeles to San Diego. And one of the first things that hit me there was the fact that I was in boot camp and the majority of the people there didn't look like me. So that was an adjustment that I had to make right away, pretty quickly. And obviously the first couple of days I wondered seriously whether I was in the right place and thinking that I would have to leave and get out of there. And, of course, fortunately, I decided to settle down and stick around and do what had to be done. But it was a change that really hit me hard. I was away from my family, you know, in an environment that I was very familiar with. But it was an important change nevertheless, and I knew why I was making that change. I just didn't know what to expect completely, but I learned how to deal with it. And get to know people, people who were different from me, who may have thought a little differently than I have, and certainly had different life experiences than I had had. So I really found that to be a very positive move for me. So I learned a lot in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it was about there for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and one of the things that really has intrigued me is you talk about tension management. So
sure.
Is that something that, you know, you started noticing when you were in the service, the tension management strategies?
You know what? I wasn't aware of it at that time, but I think it was definitely there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
My tension level was pretty high. In fact, I could even say that I was in a place where we might describe as being in stress, where I didn't have all of the resources that I was familiar with. And so I had to figure out how to, you know, restore some level of confidence or comfort with myself. And part of that was about learning how to reduce my tension. And the way I did that is to start accepting the new environment, starting accepting the fact that people were different than I was, and recognizing that I had to be with them for a number of weeks. And we would be sleeping in the same room, among other things, using the same restroom and what have you. So that was that was my real first experience with that, as far as learning how to deal with a sense of tension, because I was in a very stressful situation for me. So that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you just mentioned the word stress, Michael. What is the difference between stress and tension?
Well, you know, they're almost the same. I think you might describe them as such. Sometimes people would think of them, but tension has more to do. It's kind of like the driver, if you will, or the trans. I try to think of an automobile, for example. If you got the motor in it, and you just need the transmission to be able to shift the gears and allow you to move where you want to go. Obviously, you have to have the driver in there too, but stress tends to be thought of as something that is more negative, although we know now that it's not always negative. But tension, on the other hand, is something that is more or less a positive, and it can be a driver for you to really get to the place you really want to go. and also to manage, you know, what's in front of you, essentially. If you need to back away from it, go in a different direction or what have you. So it's a little different the way I think of it and the way I was given to understand it. So, you know, stress is something that is incredibly bothersome. And in terms of the program that I use, is that it is one level of tension, stress is, because there are actually a total of 5 levels of tension that we can actually evaluate where a person is. Stress is one of them. And that really gives us some indication as to what kind of work that needs to be done to help them to get to a place where they really want to go. So if you like, I could share the others, but I'll just kind of wait.
That's fine. We have plenty of time if you're open to sharing that.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, as I mentioned just a moment ago, there are 5 different levels of tension, and I primarily talk about 3 of them. But the first one is a level that we call stress. And if you were in a situation, and let's say you were feeling a sense of stress right now, one of the things that would probably be coming out of your thoughts, if you're sharing those with somebody, you would be saying, you know I need to do something. I just wish somebody would help me, tell me what to do, because I don't know what to do right now. And that is a place where you just feel completely overwhelmed. Now, I'm sure people can resonate with that or recognize that as a very stressful situation. If you have to kind of say, hey, listen, I don't know what to do, somebody help me, that is very stressful. The second one is what we call a position of power. Now, these are all levels of tension that you would find on something that's called the change grid, and I could talk about that a little bit later. But the sense of power is when you're looking at things from the standpoint is that the challenge is equal to your ability to perform whatever is in front of you. So you feel empowered. You know what you're doing. You're not worried about it. You're not overly stressed. You're not too confident or overly confident. And so you're in a good place where that is concerned. So that would be more like the level of middle ground, so to speak, in terms of dealing with anything that you have in front of you. The third one is a place that we call apathy, A-P-A-T-H-Y. I think I spelled that correctly. Well, anyway, apathy is a place where we have a tremendous ability to do whatever in front of us, but we really don't have a sense of urgency around it. It's kind of like we don't really feel that it really is that important to us necessarily. And it's generally a place where you go when you can actually become an expert on something. It's described as being the place where a person becomes overly proficient in whatever it is that is in front of them. So they tend to act as if it's not that important. And that's a dangerous place to be as far as being a business owner, because number one, if you start accepting everything that you have control over it, that's usually when you get, you know, in a bad place there. So those are the first 3, stress, power, and apathy. And they all show up very differently depending on what the activity a person has in front of them, because we all kind of show up in a way about everything. There's a middle ground for each of these. There's a place called power stress, which is just below stress and just above power, if you can imagine it that way. And that place, that is one of the most productive places for a person to be, because they're in a place where they're really very proactive and moving in a direction to make things happen. There's not too much stress, and there's not too much confidence about where they are right now. And they know they can get more energized. Okay? And the fifth one, of course, is called power apathy. So that's just below power and just above apathy. And so there is the potential there for some danger as well, but not necessarily. It depends on whatever the person's involved in terms of activity. Now, the way I know when a person is that we have the grid. It's something called a change grid. We actually look at where they plot on a grid, an actual grid, and it tells a story about how they're dealing with the particular activity that's in front of them. If they plot too high, their productivity may not be there. And obviously, if they plot too low, the productivity may not be there. So you want to try to help them move to a place where they're more productive. And that differs for everybody. And, you know, it's pretty much up to them, but that's the way that we use the tool to kind of give them the feedback and have a conversation about where they are in terms of performing what has to get done. I hope
so, Michael, you're saying that we all kind of feel that tension, and it can be almost like a motivator to make us get up off the couch so that we're not in that apathy area where we, you know, we don't see a sense of urgency. So the tension
Absolutely.
Can be one of those things that kind of gives us the reason to
Exactly.
take action.
Precisely. And so as you said that, it reminded me of something, and that is that we all pay attention to wherever we have tension. Oh. And so if there's something that's going on and we have tension around an issue, we're going to give our attention to it. And probably not a good example, but nevertheless an example, if you have a car, and of course most of us do, and it breaks down on you, then your level of tension tends to go up. So you're more active in terms of getting that issue resolved. But say that same car, everything's working just fine, there's really no need to do anything different. I mean, unless it's starting to cause headaches for you, you're not going to be as active about doing anything. Not that you have to either. But probably the best way to think of that is if you're considering buying a new car and your car breaks down. And you're really going to be really engaged in doing something. So the tension level is really high. But if you look at it from a standpoint that the car is working just fine, you're going to ask yourself, do I have enough tension to go and commit to making such a purchase, using the resources that I have to do that? Now, you can do it, but it's not necessarily something that you're highly motivated to do unless you just want that car so badly. But even with that, that means your tension is high.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that hopefully explains it a little bit. It's hard to I realize that some of it's a little bit difficult perhaps to explain, but I think all of us experience it with different things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, is that where the title productive change comes from? Is when someone does feel that tension and they make a change? Is that where that comes
exactly.
from?
Exactly. I think that, you know, when you think about things that we really want to accomplish in our lives or we know that we have to change, then that's when we're talking about being very productive in our efforts to make it happen. So we do it all the time. You know, we love change even though people don't think so. We go to school, we get degrees, we buy a new home, buy a new car, things like that. We're very, very productive about it. But there's some areas in our lives that we don't really see it as an easy, you know, direction to follow. So we have to really kind of take a harder look at it. And in that regard, you take a look at very, very specific actions that have to be taken in order to accomplish whatever the outcome is that you want. So that's kind of, you know, if you want to, and I use this analogy in the book, if you want to kind of lose weight, you know, there's certain things that you have to do in order to, you know, get the results you want. Or if you want to make a sale, there's certain things you have to do. So that's being more productive. And there are some other extremes on that, but that's what we're talking about. In lieu of the idea of just having something happen to us, because change will happen to us one way or the other. But in this case, it's us taking the step to say, hey, listen, this is something we want to make happen. And that's why it's considered to be productive change.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but if someone is listening right now and they're going, you know, I just really need to know more about this guy and this productive change, where would they find out more information about you, and where could they get a copy of your book?
Certainly. There's a couple things. I do have a nice website, and it is called ProductiveChangeManagement.com, ProductiveChangeManagement.com, and there is information there about the resources or the programs that I offer, the coaching, and some presentations that I offer as well, and that will give you a little bit more information. There is also another resource that is not directly my website, but it's called the Institute for Productive Tension. And that's, by the way, the place where I went and got my initial training and orientation to this, because I got certification in order to be able to offer the program that I now call the Productive Change Management. So that was created by me, but with some tweaks to it. So anyway, that's part of it. Institute for Productive Tension, .com is where people can learn more about the program as far as what productive tension is all about and some of the tools that we use. They can also learn those through my website, Productive Change Management. And as far as the book is concerned, currently that book is available on Amazon.com. You can actually pick up a copy, and I know it's in hard copy now. Initially it was, of course, in Kindle, but you can get that through Amazon.com. And as Linda already pointed out, it's the Expert's Wisdom, and that's the name of the book. It's actually a collaboration of authors, and I was one of them. So the lead author, her name is Debbie Allen. So just keep that in mind when you're taking a look for it if you want to check it out.
Very good. Now, Michael, I know that you work with companies, you work with individuals, and you help individuals become better leaders.
Yes.
Can you tell me how you go about doing that, and maybe an example of somebody that you've worked with or a company you've worked with?
Sure. Excuse me. Well, it's probably pretty... You know, I suspect I'm going to assume that a lot of people know the beginning part of the process is that we really need to have a sit-down conversation here about truly what it is that they are trying to accomplish, what their objectives are, where they are and where they might find themselves stuck and going where they want to go. So that's part of the assessment process, and that's part of the interview. But part of what I do with an individual is I use the tool that I've been describing earlier, and that is the ChangeWorks system, to really hone in, along with the client, on the very, very specific actions that they need to take in order to move themselves further in the direction that they want to go. And by using the specific activities, we do that together. We're able to really identify where people are in terms of their response to what it is that they have to get done. Because I will be able to learn, and they will as well, you know, how ready they are to engage in the activity. I will be able to determine what level of support they really need in order to help them get where they want to go. And I'm thinking off the top of my head, there's actually one other element to that we basically get a real good handle on where people are in terms of moving themselves forward. So an example, I'm going to talk first about an organizational team because I think this will illustrate it, and then I'll come back to an individual in a moment here. But in an organizational team, I worked with an organization that had the need to improve their dining room services because they wanted to make sure that their customers were satisfied with the service they were offering to their clients. And this was important because each member of the dining room team was missing out on some compensation because they weren't at a level that they needed to be as far as customer satisfaction. They were like 90% and they wanted to be at 95%. 90% is great, but they wanted to be higher. So, but what we did is we took a look at very, very specific activities that each member of the dining room team would have to perform regularly in order to achieve the goal that they had. So we were able to look at, now there were 14 members of the dining room team, 14. And so with the management team, we identified 11 specific activities that they had to perform day in and day out in order to achieve the goal that they wanted to. And so these are real, this is them doing things. That's what it came right down to. So when we basically assessed each member of the team, all 14 of them, related to those specific activities that they had to perform, we discovered that they were all over the board. Some were high in stress about it, whatever the activity was. Some were indifferent about it. Some felt that they were in total control over it. Some were, they were all over the board. And we knew right there that was a clear example or clear illustration that they were not going to be effective unless we started getting people on the same page and kind of flying in a similar direction or in the same direction. And so we're able to work with that a little bit to move them in the right direction. And doing so, we were able to have a conversation about what was really going on with each person. And we discovered some things we didn't expect. We found that there was some infighting that was actually contributing to the issues that they were having. So they didn't know each other very well, and they needed to learn a little bit more about each other. So they were not quite a team, but they were working closely together. So it was really helpful. It revealed a lot there. So, and of course, as a result of that, we were able to work to put people back on the right, on the same page, move down the line so that they can be more successful in terms of getting the site of action that they were really looking for. And they did accomplish that, which is really happy, something I was really happy about. I'm sure they were too. But unfortunately, we'd had some people who decided that this was no longer the place for them. That was not the intention, to determine if somebody should leave. The intention was so we can better support them going in the same direction to get the results they were after. So that was the key on that. So that's just one example of organization. In terms of the individual, I work with an individual who happens to be in a very high leadership position within an organization, and he had this problem, and it was a problem, that apparently he was not viewed as someone that, you know, was communicating all effectively with other members of the leadership team. And so it was important for us to take a really hard look at what was really going on in his head about, you know, how he was approaching his job, how he saw himself in terms of leadership of his own team, his communications with others on the team. So we're able to really identify some real keys there as far as what he really needed to really get clear about. So as we worked on that, we were able to be able to come up with some sense of what was causing this behavior that was actually separating him from others on the leadership team. And so we saw that there were some signs that he was kind of a little indifferent or what we called apathetic about certain things. And, of course, that wasn't something that was acceptable. He didn't have too much stress, but he was more apathetic because he was very, very, very knowledgeable about the work that he did. But being so knowledgeable didn't necessarily bring the kind of relationships that he was hoping to have. So we were able to take a hard look at that, make some adjustments in terms of his level of tension. So what we did is increase the level of tension in terms of his performance, in terms of how he was going to interact with people. He had to do more and support him through that process going forward. But that was all revealed by using the change work system that I use and taking a hard look at very, very specific activities that he had to be engaged in on an ongoing basis in order to have the kind of relationships and to be as productive as he really wanted to be as a member of that team. So there's a lot of different ways you can use it. You can even use it with something like people just, and I described this earlier, losing weight. You know, if you know you got to do certain things, where are people at in terms of that? I mean, as far as eating the right foods, your level's too high, you're feeling like you can't do it, not getting the right amount of sleep. We need to make some adjustments, and it's nice to have a support.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. Michael, that's okay. As I'm listening to you, I'm hearing you say that people approach change very differently. How do you evaluate how they approach that change and meet them where they are? because it doesn't mean anybody's right or wrong in the way they approach change. Do you just have to figure out how to meet them where they are and get them to I just can't see how, I'm trying to wrap my brain around having a team, and everybody's approach to change is so very different. How do you handle that?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not an easy thing per se, because as you know, change brings up a lot of issues for a lot of people, no question about it. But I think the thing that I like about it is that I make sure that they know that we're in this together, and I recognize there's going to be some real different ideas about the change that they have in front of them, and encourage them as best we can to have the conversation with me and also leadership if it is appropriate to talk about what's going on and what may be preventing them from making the change. It's difficult for a lot of people to make that, but it is always an individual basis. It's always individual. And sometimes it matters is what you have around you that allow you to get there faster. So when I go into an organization, for example, I'm really clearly making a point. This is not a punitive assessment or process that we want to go through. We want to figure out how we can best support people to make the change that we're all are after. If there's something standing in the way, then maybe we can figure out how to move that so that they can get where they want to be. Because if they're there because they really want to be, then we want them to be there and to support them as best we can. But change is difficult for all of us, as you know. But it's what we do every day. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with it every day. And so companies spend a lot of money bringing in people with the right skills, knowledge. But sometimes what happens is the habits are not there. Their attitudes get kind of messed up for whatever reason, and we have to figure out what those are, and they can impact how well people are ready for the changes that they have to make in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
So, Michael, are there ways that we can accept change more quickly? I mean, are there ways that maybe there is an approach that we can take that can help us? Just like you said, change is everywhere. We deal with
exactly.
it every single day. So mm-hmm. what can I do to be better at adjusting to change more quickly?
Yeah, okay, thank you. I think here's my feeling is that we need to recognize, and this is probably overused, but it's the truth. We have to be able to focus first before we can really generate the type of results that we really want to see happen. And what I mean by that is that we really have to get very, very clear about critical actions or activities that have to be performed in order to move us down the road that we want to go. We have to be very clear about that. Sometimes it's not so clear because we have a lot of other things that may be standing in our way, and we think that that's what we need to give our energies to. And that doesn't get us there faster. It actually takes us on a detour, so to speak. So we have to really recognize what leads to what. In other words, if you do A, is that going to bring you to B, or is it going to take you, I don't know, to B and a half or something like that? And oftentimes we are concentrating on things that do not get us where we want to go. Or not concentrating on, we're just allowing those things to be there, and we're giving more attention to them than necessary. And there could be a number of reasons for that, but it does happen time and again. So focusing on the critical actions or activities is the most important thing. And that's what I do with my clients, is I help them to really say, with me, you know, this is where I know I have to give my time to in order to be successful at what it is I want to do. And in the book, in my part of the book there, I talk about some of that because, and I didn't say this earlier, but I went through a period of time where I was totally excited about some of the changes I had made, leaving Los Angeles, going into the military. I was really excited now on my own, figuring that, oh, yeah, I can go out here and do this and do that. And I almost failed out of the school that I went in to be a part of in the first place, because I really wasn't focusing on what was necessary to get it done. I was actually distracted by so many other things that I thought were important. So I found a way to figure out what it is that I needed to spend my energies on in order to be successful. Sometimes it meant sacrifice, but ultimately it meant that I was going to get there faster, and I did. And the results were really wonderful. And that's what I had to focus on, the ultimate results. So, but it does matter. It does matter because there are a lot of things that will come up that will keep you from going in a direction you really think you want to go or you feel you know you need to go. And so that's why I say focus on critical actions. And you got to be able to define what they are.
Well, I was going to be my very next comment is many times when you're in the middle of it, Michael, especially mm-hmm. an entrepreneur, we think it's all critical. So
mm-hmm.
when you work with someone, I'm sure that, you know, you go through the steps. In the end of it, do they come out with a more clear sense of what truly is critical?
I think so, yes. I think so because, you know, we take a look at the entire package, if you will, and figure out where they need to go, where they feel they want to go, and try to, I don't know, prioritize. Excuse me, there's a lot to deal with when you're an entrepreneur. And, of course, it can keep you up at night, and many of us it does. But we still need to figure out where we want to spend our prioritize our energies for as much as possible. And sometimes it gets right down to making a schedule for yourself. And I know that there are people, no doubt, who are listening to us today who have done that type of thing. But I can assure you that we all, regardless of whether we make the schedule or not, we'll allow ourselves sometimes to be distracted by other things that happen in our lives. And that happens all the time. So we still need to keep on prioritizing time and again. Now, that's where someone like myself comes in because as a coach, I can hold people accountable for that because when they have a chance to talk with them about, you know, where they are relative to the things that we agreed upon that they were going to focus on, and it turns out that they're not moving in a direction, and so we're going to have a conversation about, well, what's happening, what's going on here, so that I can be a better resource for them, especially if they've hired me for that purpose. They want the support that I can provide them.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a real,
you know,
challenge.
Absolutely it is. You know, I tell people I left corporate in 2004. I'd been in banking for 30-plus years, and what mm-hmm. I realized as an entrepreneur, one of the great things, Michael, about being an entrepreneur, I can do anything I want. But I'll tell you one of the most challenging things about being an entrepreneur is that I can do anything that I want.
Absolutely.
And it's that
Absolutely.
Shiny object. It is the distractions. It's exactly what you described. And
yeah.
sometimes those things that we need to do are not the fun things that we end up spending so much time doing, you know, that there does
exactly.
have to be someone there to say, I know this is not going to be fun, Linda, but this is something that's going to move your business forward. So having someone like you to help hold them accountable and keep their goal in front of them
exactly.
is really critical.
Exactly. I appreciate that. You're
yeah.
so right. Because we you know, I've heard this before, and I'm borrowing it from somebody else, but I've heard of sometimes we major in the minor things, and, of course, that means that we get the kind of results that we should be getting, too, and that's not much.
Yeah.
But we have to figure out how to major in the important things there.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
it is a challenge.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're coming up close to the end of the interview, and I want to make sure that you give your
sure.
information out again so that people can get in touch with you and they can find out more about you and how they can get a copy of your book.
Certainly. Thank you very much, Linda. My website is productivechangemanagement.com, productivechangemanagement.com. And also, you can contact me by phone also. I do answer the phone. If not, of course, the usual can happen. It is area code 858-705-4002, 858-705-4002. And also, regarding the book, and I certainly hope that you will have a chance to take a look at that because there are some wonderful stories and messages there that are delivered by a number of really wonderful people who I'm really proud to have the association with. It's called Experts Wisdom, and that book can be purchased through Amazon.com. The lead author, in case you're wondering, her name is Debbie Allen, and so it'll probably show up under her name. But there are some very good stories in there for anyone who aspires to be better at whatever it is that they are, motivated to do. So I think, and of course, their contact information is also there too, and of course, mine is as well. It's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, Michael, I read a lot of books, and I get a lot of great information, but I'll tell you what you provided in your contribution to this book, and that was what Oprah calls is those tweetable moments. You have some great quotes in here, Michael. I want to share a couple of them that I found. You were talking about focus, and in the book you say, when you get focused, the right doors open. Oh my gosh, Michael, that is just so brilliant. I also like the one where you say distractions compete for your time, your money, and your very soul. So folks, these are just a couple of the quotes that came out of Michael's chapter. I haven't had an opportunity to read the rest of them, but you have to get a copy of this book. It is Michael, this is just so great to be able to share information with people that they're going to walk away with something. They're going to walk away inspired. They're going to walk away wanting to know more about Michael Jenkins. So I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing with our listeners, the opportunity to actually learn a little bit more about how to manage tension. It's not stress, folks. It's tension. Tension can be your friend. Stress may not necessarily
be
your
friend. Exactly. That's a better way to think of it, too, by the way. I appreciate that point. And thank you so much for what you said a moment ago, too. I absolutely appreciate it. This has been a wonderful opportunity to share with you and with our listeners there. So I'm glad that I've had that opportunity. I thank you so much for that.
You are welcome. Now, we're down to those final questions. So are you ready for those final questions here?
Sure, I think.
Okay. I promise, no curveballs here. So the first question is, when faced with obstacles, what kept you going?
Oh, my. Well, I think I had to muster up a belief that, it's got to happen. I got to do it. It's up to me to do it. And some of the things that I've read, I'm a very active reader. I mean, I read a lot. And I've had, I think in that case, a number of good mentors through my reading that's helped, including, of course, from a spiritual standpoint, the belief that it's possible for me to do it. I didn't always feel that way, but that's kind of what has happened. That's allowed me to keep going on many things there.
Mm-hmm. And, I think that happens to all of us, though, Michael. There are times when we go, I just don't know whether I can do this or not. But, digging down deep and finding that thing, and maybe it is the tension that you talk about, finding that thing that makes you want to take that step, makes you want to actually accomplish what it is that you started out doing, then, it's served a purpose.
I've always been restless about these things, so I think that's, you're right, that is the tension there.
So the next question is, other than a coach, who has influenced you the most?
Well, I think, it's kind of interesting because, I'm going to say that there's a woman that gave birth to me that has been a tremendous influence in my life, because I've seen her make decisions, manage things that I can't imagine how she managed, and just the sense that, you know, she was able to do that, and knowing that she continues to do it today, and I'm thankful for that. I'm inspired by her, and you know, it makes me feel good about the things that I do today, because I've had at least a good example through her to do some of these things. And so I would say definitely that she's been there for people in a really great way, and made many sacrifices along the way. So it's like I just admire who she is and what she's done with her life. So I would say yes, her, my mom.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that she would say that she's very proud of you as well and what you've accomplished. So.
I hope so.
Next question is, how has curiosity played a part in your business and in your life?
Oh, wow, that's a good one, because I think I kind of alluded to that a little bit earlier. I have a kind of a restless nature about things, and because of that, you know, I'm always looking for some new information that can help me to be a better person, to be a better servant for those I provide services to. I never seem to feel rested that I have all of the information I have. I got a tremendous library that I've put together over the years that I've read of many great books. It's just kind of a restless nature. One of the things got so far now, I'm actually reading the same thing. Some people are saying it just a little differently now, but still, it's about that. You know, so I always believe that I can find the answer to whatever is in front of me. And there is a restlessness to that that just, you know, I'm still breathing. I'm thankful for that, up and about. And so I feel like there's something to do with what I have. You know, don't waste it, because I know all too well that time and life is short. So that's kind of what it is for me. I think I may have answered your question. I'm not sure if I did, or I might have butted.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I find people that are very curious have large libraries.
Really? I'm sure you do as well, don't you?
Yeah. I have a large library, plus on my Kindle, I've got a large virtual library as well.
I'm not surprised at all.
Well, Michael, again, thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing with our listeners about tension, about how to manage it, and about how change impacts our life as well. So I want to give you one more opportunity to give your website out and how people can contact you.
Yeah, please contact me by my website. It's productivechangemanagement.com, and you can also call me. My phone number is area code 858-705-4002, 858-705-4002, and I'll be more than happy to speak with you, talk about the programs that I offer, and see if I can be a resource for you in any way possible. So I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be on the show, Linda. I'm so glad that you invited me to be your guest today.
Absolutely. We're so happy to have had you here, Michael. And let's be sure to stay in touch, because I'd love to keep track of what things you're interested in and what the new things that are happening to you. So thanks again.
Very good. I will do that. Thank you so much. You take care.
Absolutely. Folks, you know, I always end the show with a quote, and this quote actually came out of Michael's chapter. It's a quote by Jim Rohn, and I think it really speaks to what we were talking about today. There are two major pains in life. One is the pain of discipline. The other pain is of regret. Discipline weighs ounces, but regret weighs tons when you allow your life to drift along unfulfilled. I love that. And it still talks about tapping into that tension that Michael mentioned that will inspire you, that will motivate you. So if you're sitting there listening, what is it inside you? What is that restlessness that Michael has? What is that in you that makes you want to get up every morning and do something different? Thanks for joining me today, folks, on Empower Radio Show, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.